Welcome to the Only One Shot Studios. It's located in the great state of Mississippi. You can find us on Instagram, Only One Shot. I'm your host, Jim Gallagher Jr. Played the PGA Tour from 1984 to 2000. Spent the next few years with my family, watching them grow, three daughters and a son. And then I went out and played the PGA Tour Champions Tour for a while. And now I work as a golf analyst for the Golf Channel. You can find me on Instagram at Gallagher Jr. and on Twitter at Gallagher Jr. GC. So exactly what is Only One Shot? Well, it's a book written by Vijay Trolio, teaching professional, top 100 teacher, Old Waverly Golf Club, West Point, Mississippi. Very successful playing career, both as a college player at the University of Southern Miss. He moved on to the teaching side. He's written three books. He's one of the brightest minds in the game of golf. And he's my co-host. We're going to have some special guests, and we've got one today on our podcast number five. But we're trying to give a little insight on how elite, competitive, gritty, and healthy competitors are made. And our special guest is Allison Trolio, wife of Vijay and mom of two young junior golfers, bright future in front of them. Let's just welcome Allison to the podcast. Allison, welcome.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, Vijay, you love reading, and you love reading the book. We talked about instruction and the cost, but now we get to the good part, the cost of maybe playing some tournaments and time, not just money, but time. That it takes to really get going.
Yeah, the instruction part is going to be just the beginning, as far as from a time and monetary cost. But I do want to read this. This is from Only One Shot. It comes from those hours of interviews that I did with your mother and father. So this is from the book. An apparent reality of accomplishment is often hidden in the shadows. It is the reality that we only have a certain amount of energy and time. For the Gallagher family, it was obvious they had a clear end goal for Jimmy, and nearly all their energy was aimed at the future of their children, and Jimmy was in the crosshairs because he was their firstborn. Behind the bright future of Jim Gallagher Jr. sat two parents that were ready and willing to carry their children through the shadowy expenses of accomplishment. The family's threshold for failure, the family's expectations for time and monetary investment are often not brought to the surface.
Well, I'll say this. My dad was my instructor. He was a pro for 45 years at Mishingamish Country Club, Marion, Indiana. But it was my mom that took me to the tournaments. It was my mom that actually sat with me, and she didn't play golf. She didn't know one end from the other. But she listened to my dad, made sure my grip was right. Always. That was the first thing she did when I was 3 years old. And I, you know, she's as much a part of that as my dad. I mean, she picked us up, took me, especially me, at the beginning, all over the country, and the money that was involved. I had her brother Jeff, who of course won on the, now it's called the Corn Ferry Tour. He came following in my footsteps. My sister Jackie, but it was mom. And moms take us everywhere, whether it's baseball games, and I mean they're the backbone. They kind of keep us going. And Allison's one of those. My wife Sissy's one of those. And you've got two boys, both of y'all, Cohen and Collins. But I mean, you know, how do you get them started in playing junior golf? That's the question. I mean, I kind of know, but y'all are right in the middle of it now. I've kind of gone past those days. But, I mean, how did you get them started in junior golf?
Sure, we were – Cohen was running around here just like every other kid. He's running around here playing. And then, you know, it's like, hey, you want to go play in a golf tournament? He's like, yeah. And so it was like, load up with mom and y'all go play.
Yeah, Allison, you had to travel. You didn't really play golf or even play golf. You're not a golfer.
No, not at all. Actually, the first tournament that Cohen was playing in, Vijay was playing in the State Open in Jackson. I'm not sure if it was at Deerfield or where it was that year, but we were down there for that. And Cohen got wind from a friend that was a good bit older, he was a golfer, that there was a three-day tournament. The next couple of days. Well, obviously, Vijay was playing in the State Open. He couldn't be off for the State Open and the junior tournament. So I said, okay, let's do it. Three-day tournament as a first tournament. Cohen was probably how old?
Seven or eight. And then that trend has not stopped. And then he's now 17. Yeah. And Collins is 15. And we have worn out a Tahoe and a Sequoia and every Delta Sky Miles point I've ever had.
They're gone. Yeah.
Hampton Inns, we love them. They all look the same all over the country.
Good breakfast.
That's right. Good breakfast.
Yeah.
And
free.
So free breakfast. And so, you know, that shadowy expense, when I think back about your mother and your father, that that expense of time, of money, of that goal, going back to what we talked about in the last podcast of you know, last one was about instructor expense, but now we're talking about the expense or the investment in your children and what it's going to be like, not from your perspective. You're a PGA Tour player, all right? Or mine's I'm a PGA of America member. I teach golf for a living. Allison, she's just a mom.
Well, how do you pick tournaments? I mean, you all have to have a budget somewhere because not everybody, I mean, last time I checked, the money's not growing out there on these trees. Now, they say it does. We thought it as kids. Your boys probably think it does. I mean, but do you all have a budget? I mean, how do you sit and choose which tournaments you go to?
Well, actually, years ago, when we decided that they did want to compete, there was no pressure for them to compete. But when we could see or foresee that this was something they were going to want to do, we just kind of set our life up so that we could manage, you know, our home, you know, when you want to upgrade, or we just kind of could foresee it. And
that's code for we didn't buy $500,000 home and 2 Mercedes. Yes.
That's code for that. But yes. But you know, and I hear the word and it's just thrown around as a sacrifice. It's not really a sacrifice, is it?
It's just investment. Shifting.
Great.
Where you're spending your time and your resources. I mean, I do remember the first tournament when it was like, you know, at 7, the parent has to caddy.
How was
right?
that?
Well,
seriously, you weren't a golfer.
In a 3-day
golfer.
Tournament,
yeah.
I felt like I had been
well, we know
dragged
you physically
behind
could do it.
A 18-wheeler after the end of the tournament. Not because of the golf. It's just an uncharted territory, and I stepped on the first tee, and of course, the others were dads, right? The other caddies were dads.
Right.
Like, ready.
Well, you're a cute mom, so I'm sure they love that.
Well, I just announced on the first tee, look, this is going to be his deal. If he does something wrong or breaks a rule or something, just let me know, you know, just or let him know, actually.
And for the listeners out there, our son's 8, 7, right?
Yes, at the time. He's 7 or 8, so this was his first tournament. I didn't know.
He didn't either.
He didn't either, but he was ready, or right. He thought he was ready, and it was fine. But Vijay just told me the 3 things to tell him.
Were those? I want to hear that.
Ask what the target is.
Okay.
And make sure it's something that makes sense, right? Even mm-hmm. to somebody that's not a golfer, right? Sure. You know the general direction, you know, the tree or whatever. And if it was way off, which it wasn't this first tournament, luckily, try to convince him of another target. And then let him pick his clubs, let him line himself up. Because I remember Vijay saying, eventually he's going to have to line himself up. He's going to have to figure that out. So it was just like, pick your target and let's go.
Did you hear that, folks? Let him do it himself. That's maybe something they might learn by making those mistakes. But giving them a little bit of instruction, giving them a guideline, give them a guide, let them go. Because I think I've watched it, and I could be guilty of it, you know, a little over-coaching.
Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy. Even if you don't really know, even if you're not a golfer, it's apparent because you're standing back watching them, you feel like self-sabotage instead of switching your thinking and saying they're really learning.
You know, Sissy said something to me years ago. She said that she was a teenager, and she said something to her dad, said something to Ed about, hey, I might not want you make me nervous down the cart path. You make me nervous watching, right? And Sissy, Ed, her father, told her, well, you better get over that because I'm going to watch every shot you ever hit. And, you know, a lot of times parents and athletes, when it comes to expense, the kid will kind of say, well, I like being with mom, or I like being with dad. I like, it's like, okay, good. But we got to divide and conquer here. Every mom and dad out there are busy and they're doing a lot of different things. And so when it comes to junior golf, I think it's a really bad model to follow for one to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like taking the kid to the tournament or providing for the kid or caddying for the kid. Allison, how many bags have you been on that have won state juniors?
I have lots of state.
So
titles.
She's actually a better caddy than
she's
you
actually
sounds
a way
like.
I have more titles.
She's actually a way better
I
caddy
have more
than
titles.
You heard that on podcast 5. Allison's a better caddy than Vijay. Although you did actually get your son to the semifinals. of the USAM here in 2019.
That might trump others, but
if she would have held the bag.
But if it wasn't for you at the beginning, and I think that's important. It's the same with my mom, and we're teasing here, but of course, but I think it's important. I mean, someone's got to be there at the beginning. So now Cohen, and now Collins is a couple of years behind it, he's gotten better. I mean, you obviously started at the club level. He's trying to beat all the kids at the club, maybe the local level around here. Now you go to the state level. How do you continue in that? Do you go with the process? Hey, once he's conquered everybody local, state, in that process, or do you just, how do you not just jump straight, let's go national, we got to play AJGA because that's the thing to do. My kid's 11. He's got to play AJGA. How do you fight that?
We always went back to the whole desirable difficulty kind of idea of playing some golf tournaments that you should win, playing some golf tournaments that are going to be tough to win, and playing some golf tournaments that you have no chance of winning.
Right.
And we've dealt with all of it. So as they perform better at a junior golf level here in our state, then it wasn't long before they started playing in some regional stuff.
SJGTs and whatever else. I think that's – I think my dad – here's a story. I think I was 15. I was pretty confident in my little self, and I wanted to play in the Indiana State Open. Well, that's mostly pros and really good amateurs. I thought I might have even been 14. My dad said, I don't think you're ready. And I, oh, I'm ready, Dad. And, oh, yeah. He said, no, you're not. We went back and forth. He goes, all right, big boy. Well, after a smooth 88 that opening round and about 85 the second round, big Jim was right, little Jim was wrong, and I got my little fanny handed to me and sent me back home. So I started listening to my dad, and I think that's one of the things. I mean, there was no book out there. I mean, it really wasn't for you. All you've seen what others have done, and I've watched what you've done over here, VJ, with these kids and what you're building from the beginning on, and these just the desire for these kids to go out there. But it's different than when I was growing up. I mean, for a parent out there, they want to know what the end goal is. Why am I putting all this money into it? I mean, what? Why am I investing? I mean, you could spend $10,000 to $20,000 a summer if you're not careful traveling. I mean, what's the ultimate reward on your investment, a return on your investment?
Well, I think that depends on the individual's goals as far as, you know, what the kid wants to do. You know, is it the kid's goal or dream or process, or is it being forced by someone else? And I think parents can sit back and watch. I mean, I know I have two very different children, you know, and they approach it completely different. I mean, and the end goal has to be theirs.
Theirs. That's the key. And you hit it when you said it's got to be the kids or the gym. That was what I was hoping you'd say, because I think we all fall in that trap. So, okay, you've talked about it. Cohen is the oldest. Collins is the youngest. Completely different personalities. It kind of remind me of my brother Jeff and I. I mean, you've caddied, obviously, for both. I mean, how, when you're out there with them, I mean, okay, so you got two playing. I mean, how do you watch both of them at the same time, which you can't, without the other one going, well, mom's watching me and not watching me?
Well, I don't know if it was out of necessity. It wasn't premeditated, but they had their bag, they had their stuff, and
I'm
not carrying the backpack with all your water and your snacks and all that. If this is going to be you, you have all your stuff, together and be ready. And I'll watch what I can. I'll go back and forth. But it was never.
So you wouldn't make much of a college coach, because right now they've got backpacks and coolers full of crackers and food. I mean, you're my kind of coach. I mean, that's why my coach was. He'd stop at the turn.
They're going to get an upgrade when they go to college.
You think? I mean, now they're flying private and everything. And that leads to another question for me. You all have gone through this process with Cohen, and obviously he's one of the top players in the country now, and he's had success year in year. You went through that process, and now you've got a kid that's gone from this junior level in the national level to looking at colleges. You know, I mean, that's a whole nother thing, and I mean, it may be a whole nother podcast, but I think we need to go ahead and hit it in this. What was that process like? I mean, because you obviously – you didn't put this money into it just to say, all right, he did this. I mean, there had to be an end goal. And I think for a lot of parents, it's, well, maybe they have a chance to get a college scholarship. For many of us, if we would have just put the money in a bank, they would have had the money paid for.
Right.
But, I think we got to figure that out. But, I mean, you all have gone through that process, and probably you more on you've got a kid now that has that potential. I mean, how do you determine what, can they go to the next level? Maybe just maybe a question for you, but how does that determine the potential to go to that level? And I mean,
well, early when it comes to golf tournaments, the kids need this, their curiosity, they need the stimulation of the tournament. I mean, that's where it all starts. That's the reason that everybody takes their kids to baseball tournaments, golf tournaments, whatever it is. That first expense of time and money comes from the athlete's curiosity, and it comes from they know they need the stimulus. So, you know, if a young baseball player doesn't have a baseball tournament or baseball game for 3 months, well, chances are when they get bored, they're not going to go out there and throw the baseball. That being said, if they have a baseball tournament coming up, they'll be out there practicing, right? So early on, it's stimulus, mm-hmm. right? So then the kid gets involved. They create their own little world. They start traveling and playing more, and then the college coaches show up.
Okay, college coaches show up. Right.
College coaches are the first thing that happens.
Okay.
And so, like, it's pretty easy. Good golf takes care of itself. But the college coaches are going to show up, and they're going to watch the kid play. I wasn't there at a lot of those events. Allison was there at a lot of those events when the college coaches showed up. So when the college coaches show up, then it's like, how do the kids perform in front of the college coach? How do they do in the tournaments? So that'll answer itself.
Well, I think what me going through it with my daughters, especially Kathleen, because like we talked about earlier, Mary Langdon was a soccer player and started golf, college golf, and really competitive golf later. But for Kathleen, I mean, they were making them commit in ninth grade. And I know that's changing now. They've done that. They've changed that rule where they can't really see them officially till their junior year, which I think is important. And that's one for you parents out there, I think. And the coaches complained about, but they didn't do anything about it. And I'm not bashing the coaches. It was just the way the system was. I mean, if you were a young boy, if you didn't decide by ninth grade, you weren't going to get to go to the top schools a lot of times. That was, you know, pretty much a given. I mean, for those kids, that was hard. I couldn't remember my locker number or the combination to it, let alone know where I was going to go to school. What was the process like for y'all? And I know it's changing now as we continue on. Cohen is now committed to LSU. What was that process like when you say the coaches show up? Where do you determine to visit? I mean, do you send out videos? How do you go through that process?
Well, first of all, Allison never looked at me and said, well, I hope we get a college scholarship out of this. Right? Allison always was, I'm going to take them. I'm going to be able to spend time with them. They're going to have to take care of their own stuff. So forth and so on. So we never got into it from a college golf.
Right. Cohen just always
wanted to play golf.
Said he wanted to play golf and kind of was like, I'm going to play in college.
From picking a university, Alice and I have said the same thing to Cohen and Collins both and to every other junior golfer that's ever walked into this door and asked the question. You got to like the coach. It doesn't matter what the university is. There's going to be X amount, how many football games? 6 or 7 home football games?
Maybe 8.
Right. So not going to be a ton of that. All of the universities are great. It's a great chance, but you've got to like the coach. As Allison's always said, the coach is going to be your first boss.
Right. And as a parent, kind of the coach is in between them being in your household and then them being on
their
own.
They're almost taking their role.
They're like they're kind of the in between them having full parental
guidance,
right. Good word, and then them really being their own guide. So there's a lot of wonderful college golf coaches.
Oh, there is, and it, a it, lot and of it's not just and someone they, driving the van.
And they may not. That's exactly right.
It used to be. That started. Let's go get the football coach. Wait, Billy, come on over here and drive these boys to the next trip. But I mean, that's what it was.
A lot of the pressure that kids put on themselves, and sometimes parents put on themselves, is like who they're getting recruited by. And again, we've always felt like it didn't matter the university you're getting recruited by. It matters the coach that is recruiting you.
So you're saying for you guys, it was coach first. Wasn't financial, whether you're getting the boys and the girls, they have the men and the women, I should say. I think the women
coach
have
first.
Six.
Coach first.
So you'd say coach first.
As a mom, it was very important to me to have somebody there that I felt like I could
trust
with my child, who would be a young man
at that point. And every one of them that we ever met we felt like we could trust.
Yes.
My friend Mac Brown, who coaches back coaching again at North Carolina, was, you know, Texas national champ. He's one of the finest men I know, and that's one of the things he stressed, is he had to know the family and let the mama more than the daddy know that he was going to take care of their baby. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. But what I tell a kid, and this is my little different twist on it, it's not so much, say it gets close and you love all the coaches and it's between this school and that school. I tell the kids, okay, all right, you love this, you know, put the positive. Here's the pros. Here's the con. It comes down to, it's between two and it's tough. It's a toss up. It's like if you were hurt because you're one swing away from maybe never playing again, what school would you choose if you could never play again, or if you never made a trip and you're sitting at home? Because right. That could happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no guarantee just because you were mm-hmm. Joe, Johnny, go, I'm going to kill everybody in junior golf, go to college golf. As you mentioned, podcast one, they all good when you get to college. Where would you go where you would be comfortable, whether you played golf again? And that's kind of what gets it down when it gets that close. I think for some, it could be financial. I mean, it's all different. But the coach is important. There's 4 years. They're just going to spend more time with that man or that woman than anybody they're going to spend time with, other than those 8 or 10 kids on the team. Because you got to remember, you kids getting recruited, those folks that are recruiting you, unless they're a freshman or sophomore, of course, it's changing now, they're probably not even going to be there. Juniors, seniors aren't even going to be there. So don't fall in love with the juniors and seniors because they're gone. So I think that's one of the things you have to be aware of when you're being recruited. And I know Cohen had talked to me on several times about the different things, and then he probably asked you the same, but he felt like he could talk to me because I was kind of out there neutral. I didn't have a dog in the race, and he'd gone through it. I mean, Sissy went through it, and I mean, we were looking at, I mean, for us, and I think another thing of advice for parents out there and even for the kids, I mean, it's great because you're an individual, now you're on a team, but get to know some other kids at the school. And I know coaches hate this. They don't want them in a fraternity and a sorority, and I get it because it takes away their time because college is about time management. But they've got to meet other people because there is this thing called college experience. You have to meet other people because it's not just about the 8 or 10 friends you have. It's about meeting so many. That being said, if they allow you to do that, you have to be able to manage your time. Golf comes first. Actually, school comes first, and then golf, and then whether you're in a sorority or fraternity. And to me, I had girls, so sororities were easy because their requirements for the women players, way tougher than athletes. And they did a lot of things around the community. So it was very positive. Both my daughters met some of their best friends and they're in their weddings and they're some of the sweetest people. And they made that experience. So when it wasn't going well, because remember when they're recruiting you kids, parents, they're feeding you lobster and filet. When you get there, you're cooking it. So you remember, you kind of lose a lot of your say. That's not a cut to the, it's just the way it is. That's called life. You know, they're trying to sell you something, and now they've sold you. You get there, it's not exactly what you thought. So those things you have to keep in mind. And I think, as you said, you got to like the coach, but they're all salesmen. But you'll figure out which ones are.
And I do think the change in the rules is good. It's kind of coming right between our two.
Right.
Because coaches can change.
That's another great
and
point.
And if you commit real early and you are in love with the coach,
right, they're gone.
Then in 4 years, a lot can change. Mm-hmm. At any college level. So the rules changing, I think
it's going to benefit. Positive. And it's
I think the kids will be able to foresee.
It'd be easier for Collins to go through this process than maybe it was Cohen. Because yes. Cohen, it called me. I mean, he was barely a ninth grader. And he says, they're wanting to know. I mean, I'm going like, geez, Cohen. I mean, and I knew it. I'd heard it. And now I'm hearing it. It's more on the boys than it was the girls' side. Because the men and women teams, they're ready to go.
And you might not have liked the system, but to some extent, you had to play the system.
And you had to play the system. But it gets back down to that. I mean, where would you go if you never played? I mean, that kind of is the final thing for me. And it's just some great advice out there for people because they're all going to go through it. They're all different. Coaches, they're better. They've got – and I think that's why players are – it's so much different. And I just did a reunion in Knoxville, and we had a great time there. And I seen this beautiful facility at the University of Tennessee. Everybody has great facilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all have it. It's what you do with the facility. I mean, we came a long way. When I was in college, we went and hit balls down at the Cherokee Park. We're trying not to hit the joggers. Most of us are trying to concentrate not hitting the sunbathers or looking at them. I spent more time on my knees trying to hit balls across the river. I mean, so it came a long way from that. Mm-hmm. Or going out to Pine Lakes, as I told the guys, and we had balls. Half of them had dimples on them. The other half cracks. They go right. They go left. You don't know if you're hooking it or fading it. Now they've got these beautiful facilities that they can get better. And I think that's one of the things Cohen told me when he decided when he was going to go to LSU is, I think I can get better. And I think that's something, you don't always know that, but I think that was one of his points. He liked the coach, as you all said, and he thought he could get better. And I think that's important to keep that in mind when your kid's being recruited, because it's not easy.
And remember, too, that we're talking about expenses.
Yeah, expenses to go see. It's not just we're talking about geographic, it's actually visiting.
So one question I'd like to ask Allison, she can answer for all the parents out there, is do you think there's any way possible that we could have spent as much money in instruction as you have spent at Hampton Inns, tournament entry fees, and miles on the road?
I think that probably far outweighs.
From an expense standpoint.
From an expense standpoint, absolutely.
And then what should parents, from your standpoint, what should parents, because you came to this from a person outside the world of golf, what should parents sort of, if they have a very curious kid out there that's wanting to get really good at the game, what should they kind of prepare themselves for from a summer standpoint? Like how much time are you spending on the road in a typical summer?
A lot between the two of them, because they played on two different levels this summer. So literally it would be 1 week with one, come home a day, grab the other child,
We're talking 25, 30 days out of the summer? Are we talking?
Probably. I know last summer I was home 3 or 4 days in June and a couple of days in July between the two of them.
Yeah. And the thing is part of the reason that we're talking about this in that book is it's really easy for somebody to start thinking it's just happening to them. Mm-hmm. But like that time and expense that Allison's talking about that she's taken out of her life.
Sure.
Your mother did it.
Mm-hmm. She didn't. I mean, my dad would tell you she did buy a dress or do this and that so we could go to junior tournaments.
Jack Nicklaus's father and mother did it.
Yeah.
And if you got into the world of other sports, you'd see the same type of commitment level. The threshold of failure. Allison's been on the bag when they've played great. She's been on the bag. She's been on that cart path when they play poorly. So you've had to go through that and understanding that threshold of failure from a standpoint of, okay, we're in Atlanta, Georgia. This trip just cost me 4 days of my week in the middle of June, and it also cost our family $2,600. That's when the rubber meets the road.
And I really try, and I've gotten better at this.
You've done fine.
I've gotten better, but I try to emotionally detach from their play.
You've done better than I have.
If I know.
I got to walk up and hit my head against a tree.
I mean, obviously, if they play bad, I'm like, oh, you know, I really would want them to play well, but I'm not in control. I really do try to sit in my golf chair under a tree and really spectate so that I don't get, because it's easy if you're spending money to say, I spent all this money.
That's,
and
that
he came here.
Threshold of failure.
Yeah.
And so I really try to let it be them. And I've gotten better. I'm probably going to be really good by the time this is over, right?
You would hope so. You've time and investment.
Because I just feel like it takes you on an emotional roller coaster, or does me, and probably more so for moms. Just females are more emotional by nature.
I know that.
Most of them.
Yes.
And
that's why we love you.
And so I've really, really tried hard to do that, probably self-protection, but also so that I never want to come across as they feel guilty for playing a certain way.
That's good.
Because I know we've always prepare and we will take you. Now, we will get on. We will, you know, crack the whip some if you're not preparing.
VJ will.
So prepare to be there. But anybody that knows golf has watched golf. You don't even have to be a player to realize that there's so many outside for forces that can change the game, conditions, I guess, and how you play, and kids go through puberty and they grow. And so not detaching emotionally, like I don't care, but really sitting back and saying, this is them.
Right.
This is what they want. This is it. And that seemed to help me as they've progressed through the different levels.
And is there, if the kids weren't that involved in it, would you have ever done that? Like, when at some point you would have to detach from them emotionally, right? I mean, when they get married.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Right. But I mean, that investment, even though it's very burdensome and very heavy, and that investment that parents are making with their kids as they forge, how many good things do you think come out of it?
Oh, I think everybody probably grows as a person, but I think it would be easy to go a different direction and really be emotionally sabotaged, because I think with any high-level junior sport,
oh, I agree.
Ups and downs of all that. I mean, and you've got to be ready for it, or just hit it head on when it comes.
Well, one thing you hit on is other sports, and that's the thing. I've convinced VJ that it was good. He didn't believe it at first, but I let my girls and I'll let Thomas. They played other sports. I mean, before, not just golf, because I think it's healthy. That's a whole nother thing to juggle, and maybe we'll hit that in our next podcast. I think it's probably a good thing for our next podcast, but I think that's another thing you have to juggle. Maybe we'll hit it real quick, because this is the only time we're going to get you, Allison. I mean they're playing other sports. I mean, how do they juggle that?
We play taekwondo, soccer, baseball, what else, basketball, and they're still both playing basketball and golf,
football until the seventh grade.
Yeah.
So you've allowed them to do it, and that's the advice, that's what we're trying to get out there. It's okay to let them play other sports.
But I do think from an athletic standpoint, you know, they've moved in all those directions, and, you know, physically and competitively, you know, competing on a team. And so
you're still letting them do it. I mean, Cohen's a –
Yes, I did all those practices and took them to
– Cohen's a sophomore?
No,
junior. He's already a junior. Man, I'm getting old. Lost a year there. But he's a junior – So you've got he's a junior. Is he still playing other sports,
yeah,
or is he kind of, all right, this is all
high school basketball?
So he's still playing basketball. So you kind of do it. It's one in the fall, one in.
Yeah, but it's the same thoughts your dad had too. You know, your dad lets you play multiple sports, but at some point it's like, whoa, don't go get hurt.
Right.
Right. And it's the athlete that goes into the sport that, you know, the sports don't, no sport hurts a kid. No sport is dangerous for a kid to play.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you know, it goes back to what Allison said about being prepared. Be prepared for your sport.
Right.
And it's, I mean, it's a lot to juggle, because you've got the workouts. I mean, there's a lot more than just going out and playing now with any junior sport. But it's a lot to juggle for the player, for the junior, because you're doing school. So it's real easy just to go, I just want to specialize and do this one.
Well, I'm going to end it on this, and this is how I'm going to end it. Enjoy those moments, because it's going to fly by, and you're going to wish you were with every precious moment, whether it's basketball, golf, or whatever you're playing out there. Enjoy those moments with your kids. I know it seems like it's a sacrifice. It really isn't. If the kid has the desires you said and wants to do it, give them that opportunity. Enjoy it, because I'm going to tell you, it's going to be here, and it's going to be gone, and you're going to wish you had it, because you're going to be bored to death as you get older. So, Allison, thank you for joining us. VJ, I can see where the boys get their smarts and their good looks, but we appreciate you on our fifth podcast, Only One Shot, available at Amazon. And Steve Azar, who I forgot to mention in the beginning, did our intro, and he's going to do our ending. He's going to take us home with the coach. What would